I was there. I don't have to listen to it.
This week's show because it was a disaster.
When you live in a beach resort, it's easy to forget whether you are playing or working. On each week's show, we settle in with a cocktail and try to figure out if there is a difference. This is Day Drinking on Delmarva.
I am Todd from GoodCleanFunLife.com.
And I'm Tony Russo, no relation. And this is Day Drinking on Delmarva, a podcast about life and culture on the Delmarva Peninsula. Todd drinks because he gets to live here. And I drink because I have to live here. And there was a time, a long time ago, like 3 or 4 weeks, where we said we were going to say what drinks we were drinking, but we're not doing that because
we have not been drinking.
We haven't been drinking. So much fun stuff to get to today. We were off last week, but we're back this week. And before we get to the show, we always like to do a commercial for a local business that we like. In this case, that local business is me. And to call me a local business is kind of silly because I don't really make any money locally. But I do write locally and make money from the writing that I do here locally. The one thing that I do want to invite you to do is I found a trick in Substack, and I've split up my Substack into several different sections, which means if you just want to see hate or you just want to see nice stuff, you can subscribe specifically to hate or nice stuff. I've just finished putting together the section that I'm calling Del Mar Uncensored, and it is all of the vicious emails, all the vicious blogs that I've written about living in Delmar. And there's a really vicious one coming out. Like, I finished it about a week ago and it should be out. It'll be out by the time you listen to this. I didn't put it out yet because I really want to go over it because it's mean, but I want to make sure it's also fair. And
okay.
It is mean. It's really mean. And the town is, I wrote jokingly about it when the current mayor and his buddies were elected, that, you know, they were going to open a what I called then and what I call in my essay, a rape factory. But what I mean is, you know, a town run daycare. These are guys who are builders. And so they found some money to pay to build a community center. But not to pay anyone to run it. So they're going to run it with volunteers from Christian. So, you know, the builders will get paid because building is important. The people who actually deal with the children will not get paid because the only thing less important than a child is someone who cares for a child, especially because that's usually a woman. I mean, it makes sense, but I felt like someone had to say something out loud about it. And I've tried. It's been a year since I've written about Del Mar. I've been really good about just not. But it was so great. So one of the people that I've been meanest to, there are three guys on the council that I'm mean to. One of the people that I've been meanest to came to my house, and I was not dressed my best. Okay. I was on the front porch smoking a cigar in my cigar smoking clothes, which are clothes I only used to smoke cigars in because they reek afterwards when I smoke. Sure. When I smoke on the front porch, because it's kind of enclosed. But we don't know what one another look like. I don't know if he knows what I look like. I know I don't know what he looks like because I've only heard his voice.
Oh, funny. Yeah.
So I saw him coming up the stairs. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Because he had been in the neighbor's house. And again, read the essay because the essay is great. But the essay is fun anyway. But he'd been going door to door, and I thought it was a religious person, and I was actually pretty excited about that because I'm reeking of booze and cigars. I'm wearing a robe that should have been thrown out about 15 years ago, and you know, sweatpants in my hair. My long gray hair is longish grayish hair. I look like a homeless person. When I got to the door, the fun part about the essay for me was that I guess the council all bought themselves Letterman jackets that say Del Mar Council on them.
Oh my. Are they trying to invoke the 80s jock villain in this?
I don't know. But it was just, as soon as I saw the name and I saw the jacket, and the whole essay appeared fully formed in my head.
Oh, funny.
I just wanted to write that he looked adorable. And everything else was kind of secondary. It was like, don't say you looked adorable yet. Wait till you get closer to the end. But it's a fun essay. And it is, you know, we like, as I've said, we have a felon. Jeff Fleetwood still runs Del Mar. And so now they're going to give him, I guess, about $2 million to spend or to take home like he did when he was working for Berlin.
Well, he was a felon or became a felon because of what he did in Berlin, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, surely he's
reformed.
He's reformed. He's not going to do that again.
Well, that's what I said. That's why I said, you know, if you're going to let an embezzler run your town finances, why wouldn't you hire a reformed pedophile to run your volunteer program at your youth center? Oh, man. It's pretty good. I've got to say, if I pat myself on the back too much, I apologize. I'm happy with it. So that'll be out this week. And please subscribe. I've got a bunch of stuff. My return to sender project is going along very well. I've got my second return to sender newsletter going out. And I'm going to be writing more and splitting them up. So if you subscribe, unless you subscribe to all of them, you'll only get one kind of summary email from me each week, but you can subscribe to all of them and, you know, get an email every time I think of something to write down. But that's my plan for now is to, rather than try to schedule something to write every week and then have 10 ideas and have to put them off because I'm not ready to publish them.
Right.
I'll just write and publish as often as I can and only burden my readers once a week with the things that I have written. So that's what's going. Go ahead.
And we were talking before the show that and I'm going to say it here to hold my feet to the fire a little bit. I want to start putting the video component of this up on our Substack.
Yes, on the Substack for Destination Del, no, I'm sorry, Day Drinking on Del Marva. We will have we'll have the videos up soon, and that'll be fun because we have them. I mean, it's just me, but you get to see how harangued I look every week because by 2 o'clock it's already been a long day,
right?
And Todd, unfortunately, well, hopefully this week we will see it gets to show off his new haircut.
Yeah, that's the whole reason I cut my hair, and I want to, you know, show the world in video.
And before we get to the one cool thing that Todd did this week, I do want to spring something on him and lay something on you. A new report was out about podcasting this week that, you know, Apple has redone all of its podcasts and all of its podcast branding. And I don't know if you've noticed if you're a subscriber and you have an iPhone, you'll see that instead of the regular Day Drinking on Del Marva logo, when you download it, you get actually the cover art for the podcast with a littler Day Drinking on Del Marva logo on top of it. So that was one of the improvements they made. But the other one is they said that they are searchable only. The only things that are searchable are show names and show titles and people's names. So if you search Tony Russo, I might come up as Apple Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts might be one of the hits for me. Actually, you'd have to search Tony Russo Del Mar because there's, you know, a million of us. Same thing if you search Todd DeHart, the podcast might come up. But what we're going to start doing is thinking about that when we name our episodes.
Right.
Instead of naming them something random and oblique because we're silly, I think that this week we're going to try to do a better job naming the podcast, because I was disappointed to see that if you type Del Marva in, we are not the top hit. There's some conspiracy flat earther maniac who has Del Marva Productions or something like that. And all of his you're a fool for thinking the world is round stuff comes before us. And I find that offensive, and I'm going to make it stop soon.
I find that offensive in the simple fact that you also are a maniac. And if that's what it takes to be at the top of the list, we have the depth and breadth to cover that segment.
Yeah. So we're going to do, I'm going to try to do a better job at naming the podcast. I might start to use the AI suggestions as a starting point rather than just putting them up because they're dumb and silly. Like, you know, what does the AI think this is about? All right, mm-hmm. what would be a good title if it really is about that? So those right. are the working plans that I have on this side for the Daydream Gun Delmarva and for the way we do things generally. I know that some of you actually do tune in because we talk about, you know, social marketing and stuff like that. So this is if you have your own podcast, if you're starting your own podcast, that's a basic tip. And I mean, I've heard it before, but for Apple to come out and say, you know, stop trying to keyword spam your descriptions, it doesn't matter. I mean, we don't really work. Write descriptions, so that's not an issue.
Yeah. I heard this week a podcast that I was listening to had mentioned that Google Podcasts, I believe, are not like closing up shop. Like,
yes, Google Podcasts are over like now. Yeah. It may have been April 1st. It may be April 15th, but they'll be ending soon. It's very frustrating to me only because what Google has decided to do is double down on YouTube as a podcast network. Which is fine if they just really believe in video more than I believe in audio, and they have billions of dollars. Do you remember when Google bought YouTube for $4 billion and it was just like an offensive number?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are like, I can't believe they spend that kind of money. Who watches video on their computer?
Yeah.
That's a dumb thing. They make $4 billion a day now.
Yeah. Yeah. And in fact, you could probably go back and find episodes of us talking about the importance of a business being on YouTube, because the next generation, my kids who were kids at the time and now adults, consume so much on YouTube. And yeah. And here we are.
One of the things that is difficult for me, and one of the reasons that this is not a commercial for Substack, but one of the reasons that I like Substack is I read this, and I think I mentioned it on the show earlier, story about, they called it the enchidification of social media. First it's all about the creators, then it's all about the advertisers, then it's all about the shareholders. So right. once they've got the advertisers on, they start screwing the creators. Once they've got the advertisers and creators, once they've got the advertisers on, they also start screwing the advertisers for shareholders. So you get less return on your investment. Shareholders make more money, but you know, they take your videos and put ads on them and they make money and you don't make very much at all. Like millions and millions of views are still kind of worthless now.
Yeah.
You know, because
good thing we don't have those.
Yeah. Well, it's a good problem not to have. And I would be a lot. I actually wrote it down before we started the show because I said it by accident and I thought it was cool. And what I said was to get not paid is worse than not getting paid.
Not getting paid. Yeah.
So, you know, don't mind doing it for free. Hate the idea someone else is making a lot of money off of what I'm doing and I'm still doing it for free.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of social news update and my own commercial halfway through the show. And so each week we talk about one cool thing we did or saw or were able to experience because we live here on the peninsula or because we work here on the peninsula. And Todd's going to talk about his new project.
I think we probably touched on this in the past, but just had the opportunity to host some friends who brought their two high school-ish or high school sophomore juniors, starting to look at colleges, getting an early jump on things. And they came down, looked at Salisbury, and then ended up staying at the Atlantic Hotel right here in quaint Berlin. And we met them for dinner. And so, you know, the twins, who were looking at the schools, got to, you know, I've known them since they were little itty bitty babies. These are, you know, longtime college friends of ours. And I've seen them grow up and they're cool little people, way cooler than their parents, I should add. Yeah. Like, you know, and they would, and at least my buddy Paul would agree with me. But to see kind of Berlin through their eyes, Natalie had a conversation with Kelly about you know, them going to Rain's Reef for breakfast after staying the night at the hotel. They stayed at the hotel and they rented Runaway Bride and watched that together. And you know, we take a lot of things for granted. And I've, you know, like Berlin is what all of these developers in these suburban shopping centers are trying to replicate. And this is what has been here and is for right. real. And so sort of being reinvigorated. I don't know. It probably happens at least once a year. And especially as we're headed into more of the tourist season.
Spring. Yeah. Spring. They just had the spring celebration, right? Isn't that Easter weekend or around Easter weekend?
They did. They had the Easter egg hunt, which started promptly at 11 a.m. and ended equally as promptly at 11:02. it happened so fast, and you know, it's mayhem. I, you know, is there a better way to do it? I'm not so sure, but I think they've got it as best that they can. And kids have fun, adults have fun, and you know, there aren't too many tears that are shed. But like getting to see again, so like taking a step back and having that opportunity to kind of look at where we live and appreciate it through the eyes of, you know, a young adult and or friends or that sort of thing is always something that I very much appreciate. It makes me want to do some of the passion projects that I've talked about that kind of was the hallmark of when we were getting started 15 years ago, when we were just a blog site, again, doing things for free.
Right.
You know, seeing bands and taking pictures and doing little write-ups of art shows and all of that sort of thing. But like, you know, it's a neat community. I think it exists in probably a lot of spaces, but it's unique and it's worthy of the story here in Berlin. And I think when you have that, the backdrop, of course I said quaint because I know that you,
yeah, like, I know.
If there's any other descriptor for that could be used, the only way should be. Yeah. but you know, I think there is something to the backdrop that we have here on the Eastern Shore that makes it special. So I don't know. That's where I'm, that's where my head's at. And hopefully I'll make some time, carve some time out in these, next two months to do some passion projects like that.
I've started using my time at night better. A lot of times I go in and I have a spare editing job, and you know, I'll do that, and then at the end I'm kind of exhausted, so I'll just like put on the television and watch Antiques Roadshow because I have a problem. But I've been getting away from that, and I've been deciding to push through and start writing again at night, and I've been so much more productive. And it's that same thing, that idea of you have to remember to have fun, because if you're not having fun, you may as well have a straight job. And
right,
you know, I'd forgotten that I'd never forgotten. I just didn't notice that I wasn't having fun, because writing, like even when you're having fun writing, it still can be. Yeah. Taxing. You're still like, you know, you're still digging around in your brain and trying to feel the things and communicate those feelings, you know, in words. And it was and then I'm like, you're just miserable. So now I'm having fun, and having fun is a fun way to be. I'm very excited about that.
It's funny, I saw a thing talking about Noah Kahn, the artist you discovered, right?
Yeah, he's like our mascot now.
Yeah. And it was, and the comment was from a music reporter, and she had gone to see a show, and like her just sort of exasperation is like, does he know? Like what, like does he know how good he is? And this woman is like, I mean, she was younger, but she's like, you know, in all my years of doing this, I, you know, I see concerts for a living. I've not seen somebody who is so engaged with the crowd and the crowd is so engaged with him. And she was sort of, attributing it to his humility, but also the fact that he's just having fun doing what, you know, like yes. maybe that's the real secret to success is having fun in what you're doing first. And then the commercial success follows.
Yes. I think that if I can add to that, an observation that I have about Noah Kahan, and I'm not, I mean, my daughter, my wife, it should be one of my daughters, but it happens to be one of my wives, is a huge fan. So she knows more about him than I do, but he is the first, like, he's what happens if you have an influencer who is also a talented person. Usually yes. an influencer is really just a good looking person or willing to be most of the way naked when they're talking to people. But he got TikTok famous
yep.
by just being engaging and by sharing on TikTok, people feel connected with him. So when they go to the shows, it's that much easier to connect with them. He used music to do what some comedians were successful usually to doing with, I'm sorry, he used TikTok in the way some comedians used Twitter to get, you know, to get the word out that, no, I'm really funny all the time. And what I'm giving you here isn't even my best stuff. This is my,
right.
This is my real stuff. This is me being honest. And also, you know, like, I think of somebody like Patton Oswalt, who was always a good comedian, but really, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if he's on Twitter anymore. It doesn't matter. He used Twitter to make that kind of real personal connection with people.
Right.
And I think that that's what Noah Kahan has done very well. Like, he's like, hey, I have an idea for a song. Nee, 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 nee. And so when that becomes a song 6 months later,
yes,
everyone feels really good about it. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's what I'm doing in my own little way on my stupid little Substack, where I'm like, here's an idea for a book that I'm working on. Here's an idea for a book, whatever. But it takes a long time for that to pay off. And he's been doing it for a long time. Yeah. He's also wildly talented. It's yeah. rare that someone who is wildly talented also takes the trouble. Like the Rolling Stones don't have a TikTok that they're like, hi, it's me, Mick Jagger. I'm having my oatmeal or whatever. You know,
right.
So that I think that is a really big part of his ability to enhance that connectedness. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying any of it's phony or not well earned, but TikTok kind of was the pole vault jump
yep.
that he used to kind of launch himself.
Yeah, it's funny too.
I don't remember what that real word is. I thought it was going to be there. Sometimes I talk and I'm like, the word will come when you get to it, and I get to the word, I'm like, ah, it didn't come. I'm like, well, nope. we're already in it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
It makes me think of a recent article about Mr. Beast, and I don't follow him. Obviously, I know who he is, and that he has become hugely successful.
I don't know who.
Just through YouTube has become like, he's the guy, he'll do gags, but his gags are like giving iPhones out to, you know, 50 people and then like recording it. And like, he's made quite a bit of money, and somebody was asking him,
what does he do for his regular job? Or is that his regular job?
I think that is his regular job, or has been over the last several years. Hmm. I don't know. He's one of the, you know, highest paid YouTubers. And, you know, the question was posed is like, you know, like successful people will say things like, you know, follow your dreams. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't just be him, because everybody who is him, there are thousands, if not 100,000 people who just fail.
Right.
You know, no matter how passionate they are about doing what they want to do. And, you know, that like the cards are constantly stacked against you to achieve something. Right. But the idea of being content in the pursuit, I feel like, is where I've landed all my career and feel pretty happy with the past 10 years that we've been able to do what we've been able to do. And, you know, and enjoy it along the way. Would I like to have, you know, been, have this be advertised and be making money from that? Yeah, absolutely. I think it would have been cool. Hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but it, clearly we're just going to keep doing it and try new things and just see where it goes. Cause the journey is the fun part, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, you have to, the it's always, I always tune that out a little bit. I am always a little miffed by, you know, well, you just have to keep trying. It's easier for some people to keep trying than it is for others. Like, you know, we talked about this a couple months ago. There was this really great story that was, you know, that said, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't tell you about their success is they started off wealthy enough that they could fail over and over and over again.
Right.
And not have to give up. Right. You can only fail so many times before you have to give up, or just like we. I wouldn't say that we failed to make money at this only because we haven't ever tried to make money at this. But like just doing it every week and every and really caring and doing our best, that's not been enough for us, you know? And it's okay because it's fun and we enjoy it. So taking things seriously is important, but you want to, you know, have realistic goals. And that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier when I said I want to get back to having fun writing. You know, mm-hmm. I'm working on this book, and I'm working on the book because I want to write the book, and I'm just not having fun. I wasn't having fun because I think I was too worried about making money. And I think I've just decided that I'm perfectly happy with my current job. I don't need to, you know, I'm not in a place. It's not like I was back in the newspaper where I was waiting for the other foot to drop and trying to find out where I was going to land when they finally decided that, you know, $4 an hour was just too much to pay for an editor. So this is a good place to be, and I'll keep trying till I continue to fail or succeed. But the success is in the doing. You have to enjoy the success in the doing.
Success in the doing. Yep.
And now that I said something nice, let me say something very mean. I've been working on an essay just in my head, and I'm gonna kind of throw it out here for the world to think about. I want to be able to criticize someone's intellectual effort without painting with a broad enough brush to hurt someone's feelings who can't make that intellectual effort. And it's been a struggle for me because all of the good words are taken. All the good words are taken by people who are trying to be mean. You know, the only word I've kind of salvaged is stupid, which I have a very kind of specific definition to. And for me, in case you haven't read it, when I've written it 1,000 times, is stupid is when you take ignorance as your God-given right. You know, I am stupid when it comes to Taylor Swift. I don't want to know about Taylor Swift. I actively ignore Taylor Swift, even though there's plenty of Taylor Swift information to be had. I don't want any. Right. So I'm stupid when it comes to Taylor Swift. Some people are stupid when it comes to, you know, being on planet Earth. And those people I would like a better name for, but I want to talk about this need to be mean, like this disposition to be, to be mean, but also to be descriptive, because this is what I wrote down. If you walked, so like people call me like big guy. There's plenty of euphemisms for being fat, right? Mm-hmm. If you said, you know, go look for the guy with the beard, right? No one would come to me first. I'm not the guy with the beard. I'm the fat guy. Like that's how you describe me. Right. But you would say, oh, he's the big guy or he's the chunky guy. Right. You never say he's that fat guy over there, because for some reason we feel like that's meant to hurt my feelings. And it's been used often to hurt my feelings. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it's also descriptive. And I know it's descriptive. And when you call me big guy, I know that you're just not saying fat because you don't want to hurt my feelings. And I appreciate the effort. Yeah. I appreciate you not wanting to hurt my feelings, but I also know at some level that you're not hurting my feelings by using a word that's a little less descriptive than the word that would be correct.
Yes.
And they never describe, like if you said he had piercing blue eyes, you wouldn't picture me. Right.
Yeah.
Like they didn't go to the eyes first because of me. Like my eyes aren't, if my eyes really were piercing blue, you would still not describe me as a guy with the piercing blue eyes. That would be like sixth.
Right.
And so finding a way to talk about people who are either intentionally or unintentionally making things worse by their lack of intellectual effort is, I've gone with incurious recently, which I kind of like,
but,
a homework assignment for anybody, find if you can come up with a word or a short descriptor where I could say someone is, you know, not trying as hard as they could, or might not be using the brains that God gave them.
I'd like a
shorthand for that. And I've been struggling with that. So that's my project for the week. And we have already come up against it. So we're going to call it a day here. Anyway, I got nothing else. How about you?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, remember, until next time at the beach,
it's happy hour whenever you say it is.